Hello, good morning. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 5. Proverbs chapter 5. My son, give attention to my wisdom, incline your ear to my understanding, that you may observe discretion and your lips may reserve knowledge. For the lips of an adulteress drip honey, and smoother than oil is her speech. But in the end, she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps take hold of Sheol. She does not ponder the path of life, and her ways are unstable. She does not know it. Then now, my sons, listen to me, and do not depart from the words of my mouth. Keep your way far from her, and do not go near the door of her house, or you will give your vigor to others and your years to the cruel one, and strangers will be filled with your strength, and your hard-earned goods will go to the house of an alien. And you groan at your final end, when your flesh and your body are consumed, and you say, how have I hated instructions, and my heart spurned reproof? I have not listened to the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ears to my instructors. I was almost in utter ruin in the midst of the assembly and congregation. Drink water from your own cistern, and fresh water from your own well. Should your springs be dispersed abroad, streams of water in the streets? Let them be yours alone, and not for strangers with you. Let your fountain be blessed, and rejoice in the wife of your youth. As a loving hind in a graceful doe, let her breast satisfy you at all times. Be exhilarated always with her love. For why should you, my son, be exhilarated with an adulteress, and embrace the bosom of a foreigner? For the ways of a man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he watches all his paths. His own iniquities will capture the wicked, and he will be held with the cords of his sin. He will die for lack of instruction, and in the greatness of his folly, he will go astray. Amen. These are Solomon's words, particularly on the issue of sexual immorality. And the backdrop of this, you have to understand, the power of sexual immorality is so strong. Here is the author that's warning, and yet this author has failed miserably in this regard. That's how powerful sexual immorality is. And so if I could just take a moment to just take a step back, we need to understand that the primary motive that the devil operates in the life of human beings is jealousy. And so he's jealous of so many things regarding mankind. One, he's jealous that we are created in God's image. That is a major affront to him. He's also jealous that man, though we make an error and we sin, we can actually be redeemed. Remember, the one-third of the angels that fell from heaven, there is no redemption for them. In fact, the New Testament tells us that hell was prepared for Satan and his fallen angels. Hell was not really prepared for human beings. But human beings will go to hell. They will join the fallen angels in this way. And so we're the only ones that get redeemed. They don't. And I think this is the one that really cuts at him the most regarding sexual immorality, is that we as human beings, we can procreate other beings in the image of God. And so not only are we creating the image of God, but we become, and don't misunderstand what I'm saying, we become God-like in a certain way, in the sense that now we can procreate other beings created in the image of God. Just like God created Adam from the dust of the ground and Eve out of the rib, we as man, as human beings, we get to also operate in that same miraculous power. That's why David in the Psalms says, who is man that you should be so mindful of us? We're just a little bit lower, and the translation says angels, but it's a bad translation. It says we're a little bit lower than Elohim. And so David is pondering these things. So you got to understand, the enemy goes to war against mankind on the issue of sexual immorality. Now, another simple word, Solomon seemingly is making the woman look bad in this picture. He's not singling out women. This is women and men. But remember, his advice is to his sons, okay? If his advice was to his daughters, he would say, "Beware of the immoral man." You guys get it, right? So I don't want you to demonize women in this way. That's not the intention of what Solomon's doing here, because the first word, he goes, "My son." Okay? And so obviously the issue is going to be women. So that's why. So don't read anything into it other than that. It's really quite simple. And so he says, "My son, give attention to my wisdom." In other words, listen, give attention. This is a very much a command. "Incline your ear to my understanding, that you may observe discretion and your lips may reserve knowledge." Why? Because the lips of an adulteress drip honey, and smoother than oil is her speech. These are all very soothing, very sweet, and sexual immorality looks as very soothing and very sweet. I remember this is the first time I've never had this experience before, but I had a member of the church come to me and said, "Can I come and you know, I need some advice, and can I bring my boyfriend?" I said, "Sure. Come on in," right? I give a lot of advice to couples. So she came in, and then lo and behold, in the midst of our conversation, it was revealed that boyfriend is actually a married man who's currently married with kids. And I'm looking at them, and you know, I'm being very subtle, okay? I'm not like staring at them, but I'm looking at them, and I'm like, "Oh my gosh. A mistress comes to my church." That's all I was thinking the whole meeting. I was like, "Oh my gosh, this is like a real mistress is at our church. I can't believe she's here and she's asking for dating advice, you know, with a married man." I'm like freaking out, you know, in this place. And so I'm, you know, she's explaining and we're talking. And so then I turn to the guy, and she's kind of a newly converted believer. He's apparently a mature believer, you know, actually goes to a church that I know the pastor and everything. And we're talking to him, and he's like, you know, and I just told him, I said, "What are you doing? What are you doing?" And she was his intern. Oh, not good. So he has a company. He's like an inventor. Okay, I shouldn't say more than that. And so he does something, and she was an intern, and they fell in love, basically. And I'm talking to the guy. I said, "What are you doing, man? Like, you have kids. Doesn't it affect your kids?" And he says that his wife just berates him all the time, right? His wife just belittles him, and he makes him seem so like unmanly. And yet, this young woman thinks he's the bomb. You know what I mean? And so he was enticed by that. And this is like the lips of an adulteress drip honey. It's the same thing, like, you know, she makes you feel good, right? Your wife, on the other hand, is like slapping you around, you know, "Oh, you're a loser, you know, you can't do anything, right? You're a failure, you don't take care of us very well," and these type of things. And then you have the adulteress on the other side say, "Oh, you're so great, right? You're the best. You're the best boss I ever had in my life. You know, you're an incredible man," even though obviously he isn't. You know, and just kind of back and forth and through all this, and it ended well. I yelled at him for a little while, and he just broke down and started weeping. I think he was under a lot of pressure, and she, this woman, basically was, because he wanted to break up with her multiple times, and she said, "I'll kill myself, you know, if we break up." And, you know, and I told him, I says, "Hey, man, if she kills herself, that's on her. You walk away," right? And I think he felt relieved, and it happened. And then, and this is the grace of God. I mean, this is the grace of God. I totally forgot what she looks like. You know what I mean? Like, even to this day, I'm trying to remember her face. I think God's grace, I just blanked out. I just don't know. So, I don't know. She could still be at church. Who knows? But I have no idea. I mean, this is really... You know, I think that saves my heart in many ways. But that's what it's like. So listen to what Solomon says. It's actually quite poetic. The lips of adulteress drip honey, smoother than oil is her speech, but in the end, she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. And so if oil was smooth, no, it's sharp like a two-edged sword. If the adulteress was honey, right, tasted sweet like honey, no, it's wormwood. It's like the worst tasting thing that you can have. Her feet go down, in other words, the path leads down to hell, to Sheol. She does not ponder the path of life, right? She ponders the path of death. That's where it leads to. Her ways are unstable and does not know it. Now, my son, listen to me. Do not depart from the words of my mouth. Keep your way far from her and do not go near the door of her house. In other words, don't even get on that path. And so you have to recognize, and there's a really good book if you're interested in this topic. It's called The Anatomy of Affair. It's a pastor from California, read it ages ago, and he talks about an affair just doesn't happen overnight. And so he talks about these are like steps that happen that then you finally get to adultery in this way. I think his last name is Corder, but it's, you can find it on Amazon, The Anatomy of Affair. And so Solomon is depicting the same thing. Like, don't even go down this path, right? Don't even, you know, go eventually. So, like, you basically leave your house, you have to get on this path, and then you get to their door, right? And so he's talking about these are steps that it takes to finally get to this place of destruction in this way. And so, like, you know, you can look, and I think most of us, most men and women in church, I mean, I hope you're not going to see prostitutes and things like that. I'm sure it's happened. In fact, I know it's happened before at SP, but I think probably maybe the illustration that we can give is actually pornography, right? It's porn. And so it's in that same way, right? The path, you know, you get to a solitude where no one else is around you, right? And then, I don't know how you guys do it, but, you know, then there's, you know, the computer, right? And you have certain maybe fail safe, I don't know, right? Or whatever happens. And so it's the same idea. And he says, don't do that kind of stuff, right? You know, beware of all these things because what's going to happen, right? You will give your vigor to others. In other words, your strength will die. You know, the passion that you have for God, the passion that you have for life will wane. And your years to the cruel one, you'll waste all these years. Strangers will be filled with your strength, and your hard-earned goods will go to the house of an alien. Obviously, I don't think pornography was an issue, you know, back in these days. But he's talking about, like, alimony, you know, that we have, you know, child support, all these things. And so the wealth that you attain will now be given, you know, to all different kinds of people here, you know. And you groan at your final end when your flesh and your body are consumed. Sexual disease that happens all throughout. And you say, how I have hated you. Basically, verse 12 is talking about regret. Oh, my God, how can I have hated this instruction? All now I am in deep, deep regret. I regret what I have done. I regret going down this path. I regret all of these things that happen to us. And we see all this happening. You know, and how I've hated instruction and my heart spurned reproof. It's a question like, how can I do this, right? I'm so regretting all these things that happen. I've not listened to the voice of my teachers nor inclined my ear to my instructors. I was almost in utter ruin in the midst of the assembly and congregation. In other words, I was put to shame. And this is what eventually will happen. Shame. Right, and this is kind of like a righteous shame in this way, right? Because of our ill deeds, and so then the tone shifts. 15. Drink water from your own cistern, and fresh water from your own well. This is talking about your spouse. As a man, your cistern or your well is your spouse. And you know, for women, same. This is your husband, right? We all have one, and we're to take care of one. In this way, and should your springs be dispersed abroad and streams of water in the streets, let them be yours alone and not for strangers with you. Now, one of the commentaries actually says that this is a kind of a prophetic insight into pornography. That it's like, this is for you. In other words, this is for private use, not for public use. And so you keep what you do in your bedroom privately, and it's not meant to be displayed publicly. I mean, I don't know. I mean, Solomon, you know, maybe he had a Holy Spirit insight of something that's going to happen in the future. I don't know, but there seems to be some idea. Some of the scholars believe that this is kind of an allusion to that. I mean, I don't know, right? But it sounds good to me. It's fine. I'm not going to die on that hill, but it sounds okay. And it says, and let your fountain be blessed and rejoice in the wife of your youth. Now, the way that this is written in Hebrew is it's talking about a choice. And so you can choose, and he's telling his son, choose to rejoice in the wife of your youth. Right? Like make it a habit in your heart that you're going to rejoice. Because the reality is we can choose, can't we? Right, we can choose when you go home today, and you know, after work or whatever, and you come home to your spouse or whatever, you can choose to enter into your home in a grumpy mood. You know, hello. You know, how's dinner? Or you can choose to rejoice and say, "Hey, how are you?" You know, big hug. Oh, thank you for making dinner. You know what I mean? We have a choice in our attitude. And so Solomon is saying, listen, you can choose, rejoice in the wife of your, be glad that God has given her to you. And this is, you know, like the beauty and idea of remembering. Now, this is not related to wife and stuff, but, you know, when I was I haven't done this in a long time, but years before, and the first time it happened, it actually happened accidentally. And when I used to get so frustrated with my kids, I mean, I used to get so frustrated. They're like talking back, acting out. They don't want to do all these things. And I would just be fuming inside. And then one day I went and sat in front of my computer, and I think I did prepare a sermon or something. But I was just so upset. So I just kind of sit there. And you know how your computer goes on sleep mode and then pictures come out, right? And then I saw all these pictures of my kids when they were so cute. Right? They were so lovely and they were like so happy. And you know what happened? Like my heart just got softened to that. And so now I just do it deliberately, right? When I get so angry, you know, with one of my kids, I'll just go look at baby pictures and be like, she was cute once, you know, she was adorable once, she listened to her dad once, you know, in this way. And so it's the beauty of remembering. And so when we are in a funky mood or something, remember, man, remember when you were single and you felt like a loser? Not that single people are losers, okay? Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But when you felt like, man, you know, I want to be married, and remember, and then God gave you this spouse. So be happy, right? Rejoice. And this is the idea in verse 18. Rejoice in the wife of your youth. In other words, what Solomon is saying is you should have one wife. And she should be, you know, from your young, and you get to grow old together. That's the idea. And again, this is so enticing. Solomon failed miserably. You know, he had 700 wives and 300 concubines. Now, I know that a lot of these were political alliances. And, you know, commentators would say actually all those marriages were legal. Right, but we know that it wasn't God's plan A, you know, for sure. And so as a loving hind and a graceful doe, this is now getting cover his ears, right? Let her breast satisfy you at all times, right? We have children in the audience here. And so this is be exhilarated always with her love. It's the same idea, right? Be exhilarated. It's a choice. Right, choose to love your wife and choose in the lovemaking of your spouse. And this should be a really beautiful way. And a lot of it he's contrasting like marital sex versus premarital or adultery in this way. And so now we know sex is a biological function. having sex is physiological. We understand that. But, you know, to be honest, great sex, I mean, like really great sex goes beyond the physical. It's emotional. It's spiritual, right? It's relational. It's connecting to one another. And, I mean, you know, Lisa and I, we've been married, you know, what, 23 years now. And, you know, forgive me if this is TMI and things, but, you know, in our older age, our sex life is so much better than when it was younger because we know each other, right? We love each other in a deeper way. You know, our love produced 4 kids. And there is a bond. You know, she's been with me in the thick and thin of things. I've been with her in the thick and thin of things. You know, we've supported each other. And all those things accumulate, and they, honestly, they converge many times in our sex life. And it becomes something that's really beautiful in this way. And I can go into more details, but I'll stop. But I want to encourage you guys, right, that, you know, exactly what Solomon said, let her breast satisfy you at all times. Because that's what our bodies are meant for, you know. And I'll say this, and I'm not just saying this to women, I'm saying this to men as well, right? That you should make yourself available to your spouse regularly, right? This should be a very constant thing that happens in our life, right? Because that's the way God created us, you know. And again, I'm not just speaking to women. I'm not, you know, saying this, but in the other flip side too, right? If we're going to use that messaging, men, right? You also need to fulfill your needs of your spouse. They may not necessarily be sexual needs, right? But there's all the kind of emotional needs, physical needs, and these things. And you should be, you know, able to do that. Just don't think of it as a sex thing. Right? I think that's really important. There's mutual satisfaction because we all, you know, look at it different ways, right? Whenever I have this conversation with my wife, it's like a cyclical argument. And, you know, I say, hey, we should have sex more, you know, and she says, well, we'll have sex more if you spend more time with me. And I said, well, I'll spend more time with you if we have sex more. You know, it just goes like this cyclical goes on and on and on and on. And so, you know, she has her part and then I have my part and things. And usually, you know, some needs are not being met. And that's what causes these things. That's why if you ever spend time with Lisa and I, as couples, you know, one of the things I'll always ask you is, how's your sex life? Right, because your sex life is really a microcosm of your marriage. And people say, oh, we haven't had sex in a year. I'd be like, you guys are in serious trouble, man. Right, we need to figure something out here. And so it's important. Let me see. For why should you, my son, be exhilarated with an adulteress? In other words, why should you give yourself? Remember, he's talking about choice. Why would you choose an adulteress over your own wife? She's not with you through the thick and thin, right? It doesn't work this way. And embrace the bosom of a foreigner. Why would you do this, right? And this is the fear of the Lord. For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he watches all his paths. Nothing is hidden from his sight. And his own iniquities will capture the wicked, and he will be held with the cords of sin. This is a really beautiful kind of imagery. Every time we sin, it's like he likens to a cord. And when that happens, eventually this cord is eventually what kind of ties us in a knot and strangles us in that way. And so that's what he means. Your own sin will actually strangle you. And he will die for lack of instruction. And in the greatness of his folly, he will go astray. Amen. Right? What a powerful. And again, the adulteress, the seductress, you know, the immoral man, the immoral woman, how powerful is it? The guy who's given this instruction is the guy that failed the most in this area. And so it is a deadly sin, and it's crouching to devour us. So we must be alert. And so as we close our eyes, we're going to sing a song of worship. If you're married, think about your spouse right now. And just ask yourself, am I satisfying the needs of my spouse? Not just sexual, but emotional needs, physical needs, relational needs, you know, provision and sexual needs. Are you rejoicing in the spouse of your youth? Is your sex life healthy? There's a well-known pastor in Texas who gave a series of messages on sex. And at the end of it, he asked his congregation, he says, I want you to go home, and this week, I want you to have sex every single day. And it was a revolution started. Tons of people in churches. His church is like 20,000 member church. He says thousands of people came back to him and said, you saved our marriage, because this area was neglected. Let's pray. Let's cover our spouses right now. Families, let's pray over our church. Let's pray for our marrieds, that this would be a blessing in their life. Let's pray for our singles, that they would have the patience to wait. That this area would not be an area of frustration, but really of joy. Let's cover our families. Let's cover our church. Let's come together. We can grab a chair and make a circle.